is 9 a.m., and more importantly, we have Kevin here, so I think we can get started. All right, let's have a word of prayer. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Sunday school, and Father, what a great time that we have, that we can be here and study your word. And Lord, I just ask that you help me to give this lesson, to make it clear. And Father, I just pray that it would be a blessing for all of us. I ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we will be in 1 Peter chapter 4 this time. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses of that chapter. And we're going to be talking a lot. We're still going to kind of be on this theme of being ready and prepared for the challenges that may come our way. And the key to that, and we kind of talked about this a little bit before, is, you know, to guard your mind and your thoughts. And so we're going to kind of delve a little further into that this morning. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, and starting in verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." And I like this next verse, "wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." And so, you know, it's kind of pause there. You know, isn't it interesting that, you know, maybe you've had this experience in your life when you got saved, that, you know, all of a sudden you're not going the wrong way anymore, you're going a different direction. And the only thing is, you know, your friends that you had, they don't understand what's going on with you. They think you're crazy. You've lost your mind, okay? And now all of a sudden you've become this, you know, religious person. And, of course, it has nothing to do with religion. It's just that you have a new relationship. And they don't understand that. You know, Matthew Henry summarized the thought that's expressed in this verse very well when he wrote, "The wonder of wicked men is that good men run not with them, and their wonder soon turns into malice. It is enough for us that God approves, though men reproach." You know, and that's the thing. It's just, you know, just know that, you know, what you're doing in changing your life is that you're being obedient to God's will. And then continue on in verse 5. "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. But be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." And I love the way it ends. Amen. Okay, because he has dominion and he will be recognized as having dominion. The whole world will know it. So, you know, someone has once advised that when Satan knocks on your door, let Jesus answer. Okay? Let Jesus answer. You know, in other words, the devil, he never takes time off from his attacks. Okay? He is relentless. It will always come after you, and oftentimes it's in through your thought life, and he's working to defeat and destroy you. Okay? You see, because his main objective in your life, he's lost. He didn't want you to get saved. All right? But now that you are, okay, the next best thing he can do from his perspective is to keep you from telling somebody else. Okay? And if he can do that by destroying your testimony, he will do it. And so he's unrelenting. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The devil, he's been around for a long time, and he's studied human beings, and he knows what our weaknesses are, and he will exploit any weakness that he can find. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." You know, the devil can destroy entire churches, okay? And he's done it, you know, and we've seen it, you know, church splits and, you know, just all kinds of things that go on. Oftentimes people arguing in the church over things that are just so minor, so just irrelevant, you know? Little foolish things like what color should the carpet be? You know, I mean, just things like that. So in light of what we've studied so far, you know, Satan knows that when we successfully navigate the waters of our lives, especially those difficult waters, that we have a greater testimony and a greater impact to other people. Because remember, when you're going through a difficult, challenging time, you've got other people, oftentimes unsaved, that are watching you, and they see how you handle it. And it's not like how they would handle it. It's not like how they would handle it or anybody else they know would handle it. Okay? Why? Because you're different. You're different. Okay? And, you know, hopefully, through that adversity and as the Lord brings you through it, they come to want what you've got. Okay? And that's, you know, our ultimate goal. And so, and again, Satan doesn't want you to get through it, okay? I mean, look at how he tried to trip up Job, okay? I mean, massive, you know? And yet, Job came through that. And I think, you know, it's wonderful that God put that account in his word, because that can inspire us, because, you know, our trust is in God, but yet with the story of Job, we can see that, you know what, if Job, who was just a man like we are, you know, if he could get through that without cursing God, without, you know, blaspheming, and instead be faithful in his thoughts and in his deeds, well, then we can do it with God's power, okay? With God's help and with his power. So the devil will look for ways to attack us so as to minimize the impact of our testimony. And so Peter gives us some practical advice here in these verses. And, you know, that's why we need to stay in Scripture, okay? And we need to stay armed. Stay armed and be prepared. You know, when a soldier lays down his weapon, he immediately becomes vulnerable at that moment to the enemy. And if the enemy sees him in that condition, he's going to attack. Okay? Well, the devil waits for those moments in our lives when we have let our guard down. Okay? And so we have to be careful and we have to be vigilant, because the moment you let your guard down, he will exploit that as a weakness in your life. Never give place to the devil. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's see, we're going to look at verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the day, in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, we can get weary in well-doing. You know, it can happen. You know, as you serve the Lord and, you know, and different ones of us, we have different areas of service, you know, here in the church. Some sing, and you have to come early to church for choir practice. Okay, I've never had to experience that burden because it would be a burden for others to hear me sing. But others, you know, like John over here, he's treasurer, you know, and you know, being church treasurer can be like having a part-time job, you know. And John, he's supposed to be retired, and. You know, and so there's different things. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you got to prepare, you know, for your lesson. And certainly pastor has a lot of preparation, you know, that he has to do for his sermons. And it's not just how we say, you know, studying and researching the Bible. There's, you know, you need to spend time in prayer over it. You know, just so you know, and, you know, when I, before I come to Sunday school, this lesson has been prayed over multiple times, okay? And it has to be, I wouldn't dare come up here without bathing this whole thing in prayer, okay? There's no way. And so it can be easy to get weary from that. You know, the battle is intense and we're easily we tire easily, I should say, in our own strength. Okay, that's why we need strength that comes from the Lord. And, you know, with that strength, we can avoid losing our focus. Okay, we have to stay on track for Him. And God promises strength. He promises to give us strength. You know, back in 1 Peter chapter 4, the first part of that verse 1 is, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." You know, in other words, Christ is our ultimate example, okay? He persevered and never sinned. And so you never want to rely on your own experience as your teacher, okay? Because our example should always be Christ. You know, we may have some victories. You know, you may have some victories in your life that you can point to. But remember, Jesus was always victorious, all the time. He never faltered, never failed, and he never sinned. And so we must look to him then for our encouragement and our example. He's already run the race successfully, okay? You know, if you were going to run in the Boston Marathon, and Sam, I wouldn't recommend that at this time, but if you were going to run in the Boston Marathon and you wanted some coaching and, you know, some advice for that, you know, if you had the choice to talk to somebody who actually has run the Boston Marathon and maybe, you know, ranked pretty high, or somebody who's never been in the Boston Marathon, has never run a race like that, but has some really good ideas, you know, who would you go to? You know, you would go to the one who's run it and run it successfully. Okay? Well, this race that we're in is unlike any other. And the only really good example that we have, ultimately, is Jesus Christ, who ran the race successfully. So with that power on our side, there's no reason to fail, and there's no excuse to fail. Okay? We got to put our faith and trust in Jesus. Now, also in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, let me kind of review the second part of that verse. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. In other words, we have to have a vigilant mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. You know, when you're busy at the church, if you're serving in the cleaning ministry, for example, which is a very vital and important ministry in the church, you don't really get distracted, right? You're just focused on what you're doing, okay? But later that evening, when you're at home and when it's quiet, you know, now you've got time to think, well, what thoughts are you thinking, okay? And so we have to be careful because the devil knows when to attack. The direction of our thoughts will form the direction of our lives. Far too often, we allow our minds to think about wrong things without any intention of doing wrong. But Satan knows that if he can infiltrate our thoughts and our thinking, then he will infiltrate our testimonies. That's what he's ultimately after. He wants to destroy your testimony. You know, Martin Luther said something, the way he put it, it's kind of funny in a way, but he said, "You cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." Okay? And so we should remember that. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, "A man's heart is the source of his conduct. If the reservoir is polluted, the streams that flow from it cannot be pure. The sin in thought is only the embryo of the sin in deed." Okay? And when you think about that, isn't that true? That sinful actions begin with sinful thoughts. Let me give you some more scripture. And I'm going to kind of go through this quickly, but Romans 8:6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." I mean, there's a contrast right there, you know. Are you spiritually minded or are you carnally minded? Because the outcome of either is radically different. Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren," here's where, you know, we get instruction. Well, we know we shouldn't think about bad things, so what things should we think about? Well, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Okay, so what should I think about? Well, we've got a whole list of things right there. There's a lot of good things that we can be thinking about. And then 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." And then this last part is key. "And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Okay? Pray and that he will give you a disciplined mind. Okay? That you will not dwell on bad thoughts. You know, you can't always prevent a bad thought from coming in your mind, but you can choose whether or not you're going to dwell on it. Okay? I don't know how, you know, that's happened to me. I think I've told you before, you know, I can get a little impatient when I'm driving in rush hour with all the drivers around me, you know. And I might be tempted to think, you know, well, what's wrong with this guy in front of me, okay? But then it's amazing how, you know, the Holy Spirit then reminds me, what do you got to complain about? Didn't you pray for safety in all your travels this morning? And haven't I given you that, you know? And then, you know, I feel like I'm guilty, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry, Lord, you know, I shouldn't get that way. It also helps me, by the way, to be playing. I've got some good Christian music recorded that I can play. And, you know, when you've got that going on, it's hard to think bad thoughts. And if I don't have that, I'll at least listen to classical music, you know, because it just, you know, it calms me. And I don't want to be agitated. So when a thought comes into our minds, we've just got seconds to decide what we're going to do with that. Okay? Last thought, I guess, that I'll leave you with is take the 4-second challenge. Okay? In other words, when you've got a thought that comes into your mind and maybe it's not the right thought, you've got 4 seconds to decide. Are you going to keep it or are you going to discard it? Okay? Don't go past that 4-second milestone, so to speak. You just don't want to have it. You don't want to dwell on it. And instead, think on good things. And remember, this is all about guarding your testimony. And, you know, it's easy to guard your testimony when there's no trouble or turmoil going on in your life. But we know that those times will come. And, you know, a while back, I mentioned all the things that are going on in the world. But you know what? You don't even need any of those things, you know. I was kind of proud of Austin, the young man that, you know, that I talked about, that, you know, he was, you know, after hitting a cow and destroying his car, you know, he wasn't angry, he wasn't upset, he was trying to think of what God's spiritual purposes were for his life, you know, and he's just a young fellow, and, you know, so I was very pleased with that, and, you know, we all need to be that way, so I'll leave it there, but we have and so Mel makes a good point, you know, where in Scripture it talks about the simplicity that is in Christ and pureness or oneness, but yet pureness and oneness is a much easier concept to grasp, you know. And I think that you make a good point, though, in that other religions, and, you know, I think, you know, this is the devil at work, you know, try to add something to it, you know. It can't be that simple, and that's really the lie that the devil uses to trip people up so that they don't get saved, because the gospel is simple, you know. If you have childlike faith, you can come to Jesus, and he will not cast you out, you know. But yet, how many times, you know, do other religions teach that, you know, you've got to do certain things, you know. You've got to keep the sacraments. You've got to be in church. You've got to get baptized. You've got to do this. You've got to do that, okay. And that's just not scriptural. Well, I think that's also, that's why we can have joy even in the trials, you know, because we have a relationship, you know, with the one who spoke the universe into existence, the one who died for us, the one who can get us through whatever difficulties, whatever challenges, you know, that we're facing. And as we put our faith and trust in him to help us through those times, you know, it can really open up an opportunity to witness to others. Because, again, you know, I think we've made this, you know, observation before that, you know, there's many people that, you know, will never darken the doors of a church. So the only sermon they're going to get is your life and what they see and how you respond to real-world events. You know, in spiritual warfare, you know, it's... I don't think it's fully appreciated how consequential spiritual warfare is. You know, it's easy to think of what the consequences of warfare is in the physical domain, right? All the destruction and just, you know, the political change that occurs and so forth. But spiritual warfare has eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. And the devil certainly knows that. And he does not want you to be an effective witness for Christ. Okay, that's his thing. And right now he knows he doesn't have a whole lot of time left. Last comment? Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Okay, very good. Yeah, those, I mean, that really goes right along with what we were talking about today. Yep. All right, well, it's about 9:27. We'll close in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, and Father, just help us to be faithful to you in reading Scripture, which we should do on a daily basis, and to be in prayer, and Father, just to take the opportunity when maybe things are not going roughly, Lord, to just be prepared to build ourselves up and Father, to be here faithfully in church where we can be edified and strengthened and at the same time equipped spiritually to be able to go out and be an effective witness for you, to be an ambassador for Christ. And so, Lord, I just pray now as we close this time in Sunday school that, Lord, that you would have your will and your way in every heart and every life today as the services will soon be to follow. And again, Father, if there would be anybody that would be with us today that would not know Christ as Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would get that settled today. I ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.